official interpreter of the patches at that time, and my real father, Emmett Wirt, was the post trader here, and him and my father were real good friends. In other words, they had to be in order for me to be in the position that I am. But Emmett Wirt said that he would not any time take any of the land from the Indians, because that was their life stake, and that they needed the reservation to survive on, and that he had the privilege of it by being a licensed trader. He could have perhaps owned the whole reservation, but as it was, he kept the land intact for him, and that led us up to the time that we had a picked council, and there was 5 members on that council, and that was before the elective council came in. But there's 5 members of it there, and we all the Wheeler Howard Act came in, I think was in 1937, and we were approached, and Emmett Wirt, our post trader, and my father said that we thought that we should accept this Wheeler Howard bill, because it restricted the Indian from selling land to any outsiders, and if they wanted to trade inside, well, that was different, but no outsider was to be able to get into it.
Excuse me. When did Emmett Wirt come to the reservation, and from where did he come from?
Well, he's originally from Missouri. He came from Missouri, and he came as a young man, and he herded cattle for T.D. Burns, and that was where he got his start. And his first function was a meat market near Amargo. But when the Indians were taken off the reservation in 1889 or some, right in that area there.
You mean when they're taken out to Muscalero?
Yes, that's, they were, and then when we drifted back, and it must have been just about 2 years that they came back, and my father then had a company store of Garcia, Gomez, and Wirt, and he broke partnerships with them and set up the first licensed post trader at Dulce in the late 1800s. I perhaps would not put a date on there, but I would say it was perhaps 1893 or in that particular time there, and he's had that store up to 1937.
Did he get his license, or did he just give it up?
He sold it to us.
Oh, I see.
To the Hickory Apaches. There was a committee of 3 that went back to Washington, and we borrowed enough money to buy him out, which was with a sum of $80,000.
Where did he go after?
He thought that he was not going to be able to live, because he had hardening of the arteries, and he was continually in and out of the hospital, and he figured that his days was numbered, and he thought that he'd rather see that while he was still living, to see that the Hickory Apaches got the store.
Do you feel that he was a good friend of the Indians, or do you feel he sort of exploited the Indians?
The Hickory Apaches was his life, and he did not wish to be buried any place else but here on the reservation, and he's buried right over here, under that hill there, where Ignacio Martinez now lives. His graveyard is there, but. He thought enough of the people, and of course he had several children. There was 5 of us in the family, and we lost 2 early in life, and then one of my brothers died in 1927, and my sister and I are still surviving of that. And that led us up to the time that We had a picked council, and there was 5 members on that council. And that was before the elective council came in. But there's 5 members of it there, and we all, the Wheeler Howard Act came in, I think was in 1937, and we were approached, and Emmett Wirt, our post trader, and my father said that we thought that we should accept this Wheeler Howard bill because it restricted the Indian from selling land to any outsiders, and if they wanted to trade inside, well, that was different, but no outsider was to be able to get into it.
Excuse me. When did Emmett Wirt come to this, to the reservation, and from where did he come from?
Well, he's originally from Missouri. He came from Missouri, and he came as a young man, and he herded cattle for T.D. Burns, and that was where he got his start. And his first function was a meat market near Amargo. But when the Indians were taken off the reservation in 1889 or some right in that area there.
You mean when they're taken out to Muscalero?
Yes, that they were, and then when they drifted back, and it must have been just about 2 years that they came back, and my father then had a company store of Garcia, Gomez, and Wirt, and he broke partnerships with them and set up the first licensed post trader at Dulce in the late 1800s. I perhaps would not put a date on there, but I would say it was perhaps 1893 or in that particular time there, and he's had that store up till 1937.
Did he get his license, or did he just give it up?
He sold it to us.
Oh, I see.
To the Hickory Apaches. There was a committee of 3 that went back to Washington, and we borrowed enough money to buy him out, which was with a sum of $80,000.
Where did he go after?
He thought that he was not going to be able to live because he had hardening of the arteries and he was continually in and out of the hospital, and he figured that his days was numbered, and he thought that he'd rather see that while he was still living to see that the Hickory Apaches got the store.
Do you feel that he was a good friend of the Indians, or do you feel he sort of exploited the Indians?
The Hickory Apaches was his life, and he did not wish to be buried anyplace else but here on the reservation, and he's buried right over here, under that hill there, where Ignacio Martinez now lives. His graveyard is there, but. He thought enough of the people, and of course he had several children. There was 5 of us in the family, and we lost 2 early in life, and then one of my brothers died in 1927, and my sister and I are still surviving of that. Today, that is, we're still here.
You said that your dad was the interpreter.
Was
he part Indian or what?
He's all Indian. He was all Indian.
Where did he get his education?
He went to Santa Fe, his Santa Fe Indian School. And he worked for Emmett Wirt. And so that has perhaps a large bearing on being our reservation was intact. In other words, it stayed intact. There was no... And then I don't recall just exactly the date, but the BIA, stemming from this Wheeler Howard bill, they bought out all the people that were interested in selling out. In other words, they bought out the original homesteaders that had land on the reservation. They bought out the Cordovas and Sanchez's and the Mercuries, all up where Charlie Cachucha lives. They bought all those places out, and they bought some places on the river. They have only one place over there that's still pending. That they, it's tied up in too much litigation to for the government to buy it. But the government bought that. We didn't have any. None of our funds was used. It was BIA money, and they bought these homesteaders out.
That park where Gomez is at now.
Right above Dulce Lake belonged to. The boy that's father that's married to Cora now, that's Lino Gomez, and they bought his place. You know where Shrinka Maria lives now, or Carlos Fon and them, or where Luis lives, in that area. That was bought with that, out of that same funds. But
the store that Gomez now owns, did they fail to buy that?
Gomez himself, Manuel Gomez, didn't sell. Manuel Gomez, because he. His mother was living, and she didn't want to give up the place, so she held on. And so the consequence of it, they still have that.
But they're surrounded by the reservation.
Right, yes. It's all a reservation all around them. Perhaps we get a little off our story here, but we did get the store was in the Apache ownership from 1937. And we run it till about 1949, and they thought there was a lot of injustice, and that a lot of people was getting credit that should was not getting credit, and a lot of people were getting credit that shouldn't be getting credit. So there was quite a bit of criticism. So the BIA stepped in and said, "Well, we're going to take the store over, and we're going to advertise for a man, and we're going to run it on a business-like deal, and so everybody will be satisfied." And so they took over. And I was then ousted from the council because I didn't agree with him, because I said I didn't think that the Apaches were ready to take over a store. And so when I was out, Kenneth Long and Walt Nation from the Aerial Office came to my house and said that they was going to run this on a business-like deal, and they had a man selected. And all, and so this store was bought, was given back to the tribe without, it was still run under the council, but it was given back, and then they hired this man, and he run it, and I jokingly told him that they would run it, that they were going to go broke in 5 years, but they done better than that. They went broke in 2 years, and they... I can't...
Lechner
came in. Lechner was with us when I was still, we were running the store when Lechner was there. And then he was from La Vida, Colorado. Why don't you stop there just a second now? We'll have to go in the other room now, don't you? Cryer and Kickstarter. His name was Harold Cryer. And they didn't even extend the courtesy of asking for the keys. They put another lock on the door, and that was the way we... And then we went into what we call a cooperative deal, and... That was then when Christensen bought the store out. Christensen then had the store for several years, and then he sold it to he sold it to another man, and then Christensen got out. And then Big D came in. In other words, that Roberts Enterprise was come in and built some stores for us, and then they put it on rental basis, and that's been